Are you standing at a crossroad in life, being called to express yourself in a new way? You could ignore the nudging, or you could answer the call and change the trajectory of your life. Hi, I'm Mary Jo Rathke, life transition coach and host of the Creative Directions for Living podcast. I invite you to join me on a journey to explore your potential for expression and step onto a path filled with purpose and possibility. So today, we are going to be talking about the art of choosing yourself, and particularly when the stakes are high. And we have a wonderful guest who I am going to introduce to you in a moment. But first, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to talk about why this topic and why is it so important. And many of us are conditioned from childhood to really put other people's needs and wants ahead of our own. And that's not only a tall order, but it's actually not even really possible. You know, when your life goal or value that you place highly is to make sure that everyone is happy, you're setting yourself up for failure, basically, because it's impossible to make everyone happy all of the time. And usually what happens is you end up making yourself miserable most of the time when you're trying to do that. And so, what I wanted to do was I wanted to really dig into this. We're going to be talking about this topic a lot. But we want to start at the very beginning. And so the very beginning is that choice point that you make when you say yes to yourself. And so today, what I wanted to do was bring in a great friend and colleague of mine, Alicia Morrow, who I can't wait to introduce you. She is a visionary. She's a coach. She's a speaker. She's a writer. She's a rebel spirit, mother, and artist. And she has been in the world of healing, coaching, and transformation for more than 20 years. She's an expert at holding deep, sacred, loving spaces for her clients where nothing is too big, too scary, or too taboo to redeem and transform. And she's no stranger to life's heartaches and delights. She has successfully navigated quite a journey, sickness and pain and violation and betrayal, disordered eating, addictions, traumatic birth, a near-death experience, and the intense health challenges that come after that, as well as a painful divorce. And she also knows what it's like to rebuild, celebrate, and trust life in the aftermath of all of that. And so she is so highly intuitive. She has groundbreaking thought leadership and helps women to really resurrect their confidence, regain their health, reshape their careers, reclaim their beauty, and rebuild their lives from a place of wholeness, passion, and power. And she lives in beautiful Colorado with her son, Ocean. And it is my delight and honor to welcome Alicia Morrow to this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I adore you. And so this is just my extreme pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's a mutual love fest. So Alicia, you put together this really beautiful, you call it a storybook project, and it's The Art of Choosing Yourself. Yeah. And it's a compilation of 12 different women's voices, basically talking about this subject and how difficult this is. And so I'd really love for you to start by just talking about what inspired you to do this.
Well, I mean, you heard a little bit about my personal story there in the wonderful introduction that you gave about me. And I think a lot of what inspired this is just how far I've come on my own personal journey, the things that have informed and taught me, you know, through my own experience and growth and struggle, if I'm honest, struggle. And, you know, I remember being 6 years old, and something really scary had happened in my household. And I remember going and finding a safe place to be. And at six, I remember saying to myself out loud to myself, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way than this.
Yeah.
And I really feel like for a lot of my life, I have been looking for better ways than, you know, maybe what I grew up with, better ways than what I was seeing around me, what I'm seeing in like pop culture, I think what we're all kind of inundated with as women. I was just looking for a better way. And I was looking for examples of women who were really being conscious and caring and, but in a balanced way where they weren't, you know, overgiving and sacrificing and kind of living the life of the martyr that then would break into a rage and resentment and shame everybody around them for, you know, not contributing or not helping or whatever it is. And it was like, well, that's one way to do it, but gosh, that's not how I want to show up. I want to show up where I actually, like, I like my life and I like how I'm showing up and I like how much I'm contributing, but I can say no to things when it feels like it's too much. Mm-hmm. Like I've just been looking for that better way. And in all honesty, I don't think that there are that many really great examples in like pop culture and on TV, or maybe starting to see more and more in movies, but you know, where women are really being dignified and where they're passionate about their lives and they hold themselves in high esteem and they take care of themselves instead of expecting the people around them to take care of them. Doesn't mean that they won't receive the care when it comes, but it's like, hey, I know how to manage myself. I know how to manage my life in a way where I'm not overgiving and I'm not overextending myself, where I really honor myself. And because I honor myself, I'm able to show up in my full vitality, in my full beauty, and in my full power. And I'm able to give more from that place to those around me rather than giving from an empty cup, yes, which makes us feel, you know, obligated and like we get resigned, this is my life. And then we get resentful and like it.
Yeah.
I talk about it in terms of, oh, it's very negative. It's very toxic to be around. We start looking to the people around us to make us happy when we're living from that kind of a place, which is kind of a pretty powerless place to be living from. So I talk about it in terms of like, we could live from a place of like perpetual self-betrayal, which is when we wind up in those places, you know, where we're feeling powerless and resigned. And our own self-worth is pretty low. Or we can show up from a very self-honoring place where like we know our boundaries, we know what we're capable of, and you know, we're empowered and we're loving poised, and we appreciate and we're able to actually contribute from that place, but not overextend or overgive or
And it sounds, you know, you're coming from that place now, and that's actually, you know, how I've always known you, but obviously there's been a journey from that six-year-old, you know, self to where you are now.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you would be willing to share a little bit about, you know, the journey that you took. I mean, actually you contributed to a story in the storybook, and so I have, it's sort of two questions. One is your own journey to get from like where you were to where you are now. And then the second question is around why the story that you put in the storybook, and like which one feels juicier to answer?
Well.
Or both.
I think I could answer both a little bit. To be honest with you, I kind of feel like I have tried every way of like every coping mechanism out there, I think I've tried on. I was in for a really long time, but it was like, I think that my orientation very early on in life was that I was powerless and that things were happening to me and that I was a victim. And, you know, when you're a young person and things, scary things are happening around you, I think that that is in fact true. Mm-hmm. But when you become an adult and you can actually start making your own choices, but you're actually making choices that increase powerlessness, choices that don't like do anything but honor who you are. I'm kind of speaking about like my history with eating, like disordered eating, mm-hmm. and my history with addictions. Like, these were great ways to cope, but you can't make a life from those places. You're not really present with yourself, and you're definitely not like loving and valuing yourself there.
No, it sounds like you're doing what you learned to do when you were little, but you never unlearned it. And then you wake up one day and be like, why am I doing this stuff?
Yeah, I think that, but again, it came from that orientation of life is happening to me and I just need to cope to get through.
Right.
And really there was a significant event that happened in my life that where it was like really clear, it's time to find new ways, not just coping, but actually living. Mm. And that starts now. And so, you know, I got sober. I really like once and for all sort of addressed the disordered eating. I completely like flipped my life around and on its head. And it was massive what I did. And I started changing my orientation to life. It was no longer, why is this happening to me? It was, how is this actually happening for me? And I think that when that switch happened inside of me, it's not like it happened overnight, boom, I had this new orientation and I just lived that way happily ever after. No, it's been an on again, off again thing. Sometimes I still revisit that victim, but I don't stay there. I immediately go, okay, well, maybe you just need to feel really powerless right now and angry and sad. Like let yourself feel all that. And then once you've let yourself feel all that, it's time then to take a different action, or, you know, it's time to do something now to change.
I love what you're saying, because it's like, you're not saying bypass the bad feeling. No. You're not saying be positive all the time. What you're saying is acknowledge how you're actually really feeling, feel it, and then release it. And that gives you the power.
It absolutely gives you the power, because you see the coping mechanisms that were in place, they were just covering up all the feelings. Mm-hmm. It's like I was really coasting through life, when really I feel like when those feelings emerge, they're there to say, hey, I need you to care for me right now. I need you to acknowledge and tend to me for a little bit. And you know, the thing with our feelings is that it's their emotions, it's energy in motion. If we let it actually move, it will move on through. It doesn't actually annihilate us. You know, sometimes the feelings feel so big. Yes. It feels like we're going to die. It's going to completely obliterate us. But, no, if we just really can learn to be present with it, acknowledge it, let it move through us, there's so much that it informs us so much. And with that new information, we can then take informed action. And that is power. That is power.
Yes. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, before, when you're in that more victim powerless place, you're putting more of your energy into actually stuffing your feelings, not feeling them, avoiding them, so that you don't have to deal with them. But you know, but then that's what you end up dealing with instead.
Exactly. Well, and you end up in this game of just trying to perpetually push it down, repress it, suppress it. Like, how do we, and that's a full-time job.
It is a full time. Right. You could spend a lifetime doing that.
Some people do.
Right.
Some people do. They get really caught in that loop. And so it takes a lot of courage to do this. I don't want to say that any of this is easy. It takes tremendous courage.
Yes.
But the payoff is equally, if not more, amazing.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree with you about the courage that's needed, because sometimes it feels easier to continue to do what you're doing, even if it's not working, but to step out and make a different choice takes a tremendous amount of courage, particularly because you don't know what is going to happen.
I had some guidance come in and speak to me when I was in the throes of, you know, my addictions, and I heard this very clear voice say to me, if you're going to be and do what you're meant to do in this lifetime, you have to stop.
Mm.
You have to stop. And I heard that voice for maybe 2 years before I was willing to say, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because I was having a good time. It was fun. It was
right.
fun to go and do those things. And I have to also say, I don't regret having done those things. I learned a lot.
Mm.
And what I really learned is, it's a great way to completely give your power away to something.
Yeah.
Almost like press the pause button on your life and veer off into this other reality that's based on insanity.
Yes. Yes.
There's an insane principle that's just a part of addictions. It's a form of insanity. Mm-hmm. It requires courage to say, okay, I'm willing to let go of this imaginary world that I've been living in.
Mm.
And I'm now willing to actually face what's been waiting for me and actually clean house and take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned, you're so full of wisdom. You've mentioned two things that I want to pull out. One, well, first is, you know, we've talked about the courage, but the willingness to change is another huge piece. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. The other thing that I'm hearing is that you don't throw out all of your experience, that it's like you take it all with you, and that it's like you incorporate it into yourself. You can't be whole if you leave that all, you know, somewhere, in the trash bin, if you will.
I think that's part of the process too. I think that I did have a whole period of time when I felt a lot of shame about that period of my life. I mean, especially when it comes to addictions, I mean, there would be days, you know, I'd go out and do crazy things and not remember I had done the crazy things. And then in the following days, hear from friends, oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, I can't believe you did that. And I had no recollection of having done those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the shame that I felt in those moments was intense, but it wasn't enough to make me stop.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
But boy, can it be enough to have you continue? Because I don't want to feel the shame of that. So when I, you know, made the decision, I'm going to stop. I'm going to find a different way of living here, because this isn't actually life. And I just knew that there was more I'm here to do and more than I'm here to be. And I really feel like that, having that really helped me pull out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did walk around with a lot of shame around that, but I look at it differently now, because, you know, the thing is that shame is a form of self-betrayal as well.
Mm.
It's a way of saying this thing I did or this part of myself is not lovable.
Right.
It's unforgivable. And when you step into really honoring yourself, you have to be willing to look at those places and go, you know what? I, when I was in, you know, full-blown addiction, I was in that place where I was doing the best I could at the time,
right,
with the tools and resources I had. And now that I know better, I choose better, I do better.
Yeah.
And man, did that, you know, 20 something Alicia have a lot of experiences. You know, like she learned a lot from that.
Yes.
And I'm not going to throw that away. Doesn't mean that I don't know, like maybe my tummy might do a little flip around something, but it's, I just feel like I actually get to stand in the dignity of who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that happened in my past doesn't take away from that. It actually adds to it, because look at what I've chosen to do.
Right, right.
With that.
Yes. Yeah. What a journey it's been.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So the second part of the question was around, you know, the story that you chose to share in the art of choosing yourself. Yeah. And I'm now curious, how does your story that you chose kind of relate to what we were just talking about?
Yeah. The story that I chose in the storybook is where I share about the kind of the back and forth that I did inside of myself around choosing motherhood. You know, what I share in the storybook is how, I think for a good 25 years, I never thought I would be a mother. You know, I never played with dolls. It just didn't seem like, it just kind of wasn't on my radar. I was busy doing other things. And then I think that there were a lot of really deep wounds that I was carrying with me. And it just felt too scary to become a mother myself. Yeah. And that started to shift for me in my like late 20s. I had a couple of experiences with, you know, partners that I was with where I could actually feel my body wanting motherhood. And it was kind of scary for me at the time. It was like, whoa, what is this? I didn't expect that to be here. And, you know, I eventually married. And when I married the man that I married, I really felt like, you know what, I could do motherhood with this person. I could do it with him. I felt like, yeah, this is somebody that I would do that with. But there was still this like pushing down and denying the part of me that really wanted it.
And why do you think that was so hard? Like, you know, it's interesting when you're looking at the different stories of the people and you're like, wow, why was that particular choice so hard?
So hard.
It's not always apparent on the surface, but it's an individual thing.
Yeah. I think there were things inside of me that really needed some care before I could really admit that to myself. And I think it comes back down to this core question of, could I do it differently? Could I do it in a better way?
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't know if I could.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big leap.
Yeah.
Pretty big jump. Pretty scary thing to think about, because this is not, you know, like I'm buying a house plant. This is like
right. Like a Gia pet.
Like a lifetime commitment
right.
that I'm making to another living being.
Yes.
Could I really be the kind of mother that I wanted to be? And I didn't know if I could. And there was a lot of instability in my marriage for like the first 4 years, tremendous instability. And it was like, no way I'm going to embark on something like that until there's more stability here. And then even when the stability arrived, I don't know. I think there was a part of me that felt like, am I going to be all alone in this? You know, what is this going to be like? And you can never predict what anything is going to be like, particularly parenthood. I mean, wow. So, yeah. So I think that there was just a lot, like, can I really have this? Can it be a really good thing? Can I do it the way that, like, can I show up the way I really want to? Can I be this? And it's really, when I look back at it, it's like motherhood was calling me into the next evolution of who I was meant to be. So it's like this, all these questions and these fears that I had were because I was being asked to become somebody that I wasn't yet.
Mm.
And man, is that, we can't see what that journey is going to be.
Right.
We can't predict any of that. And so I was working with a coach at the time, and I made this declaration in front of thousands of people. I made this declaration that I want to become a mother. And it was like a much deeper commitment in myself. Like, it was like an admission. It was like a confession.
Yeah.
But it was also me like putting a stake in the ground and saying what I want gets a voice.
Mm.
And whether or not it happens, I get to declare that I want this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that I made that declaration probably in January, and I conceived in December of that year. So it was kind of like
the year.
Yeah. Make the declaration. Okay, now get your life organized.
Mm-hmm.
For that to happen, you know, so I started taking the supplements and preparing my body and thinking about how I needed to set up my business so that I could actually do that and like really start thinking about how can this actually happen and then take the steps towards it. Yeah.
And yeah, I actually underlined that kind of that part in your story where you talked about, you know, as quietly terrified as I was to pursue something that felt a lot like jumping out of an airplane, I publicly shared my dream, and I can't completely describe it, but when I did, it felt like so many things lined up in my in favor of my declaration.
Yeah.
So that it's almost like that declaration brought in everything, the support you needed to support the evolution of yourself.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important thing to consider when it comes to needs and wants and desires. I kind of hold them all equally. Whether it's a need or a want or a desire, I think they are equal. Some might think that needs are more important than desires, but I think that that's actually undervaluing what desire energy really is.
Interesting.
So I think that needs and wants and desires are all equal.
It'd be a topic for a whole nother conversation.
Couldn't it? Yeah. there is something really powerful about them, because we can want it and we can declare it. Still doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's who we become in the process that I think is actually, that's the journey.
Yeah.
And we get so destination goal oriented that we can underestimate the journey and what's happening there, what's happening inside of us, what's happening in our lives, and how we are being grown, how we are being shaped.
Yes.
Because we've said, this is the direction I'm going to move in, which is like a desire. It needs and wants and desires, I feel like they pull us in a direction. These are the experiences on the journey to, you know, the possible manifestation of that desire that's going to grow you. That's why this is here.
Yeah. And that's what that's bringing up for me is that part of the title, you know, the art of choosing yourself, particularly when the stakes are high. And in this instance, it sounds like the stakes are actually your own evolution and growth.
I think that, and your own aliveness.
And your own aliveness. Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because I think that, like, especially right now in our culture, I think it's more important now than ever that we declare that we choose life. I choose life. I choose to grow. I choose to evolve. I choose change. That's growth. You know, like seeing rings on a tree.
Yes.
That's growth. Because the fear or the shame or all of these things that kind of make us contract, that's like the opposite of growth.
Yes.
So this is a time to gather courage, surround yourself with community that will uplift and support. These are the times to say, like, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I'm going to find out, because I'm here to really live. I'm here to really choose life.
Yeah,
I feel like that's so important right now.
Yes. I mean, so important anytime, but like particularly the times that we're in right now, you know?
Yeah.
If everyone were to make one of those choices to step into their aliveness, imagine what we could do.
Well, there's that phrase, you know, live and learn, you know, live and learn. And I think, well, the learning is actually optional. Not everybody checks that box and says, yes, I'm going to learn from this. But my thing is that if enough of us do, it can really transform our world in wonderful ways. And it will transform us in wonderful ways too.
Yeah. That's so awesome. And it's interesting because one of the things I did note about sort of like your definition of choosing yourself is that it's a powerful life skill.
I think right? so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a one and done thing. You kind of have to keep choosing yourself, keep honoring yourself. And when I talk about like honoring yourself, it's what is true for me now. There's a way that I feel like we're being challenged to stay current with ourselves. I made that commitment or that promise or that vow. There's a story about a woman who made it a very important vow in the storybook. So these are these promises, the commitments, these vows. Has it become toxic? Is it hurting me at this point? Or is it still aligned? Is it still allowing me to grow? Is it choosing life is what I want to say.
Yeah.
Or is it stunting me? Is it keeping me stuck in some place that I can just feel in my bones, this is not where I'm meant to be.
Yeah, no, I think that is so, I think that is so key, actually, you know, particularly when people are at those choice points and trying to decide, you know, how do I make the right choice for myself?
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you have, you know, like any words of wisdom, advice, or even an exercise, let's say, that someone can do when they're at a point like that and they're trying to decide, should I do this or not?
Yeah. I think the thing that I come back to again and again is, what does my body have to say about this? You know, our bodies are incapable of lying to us. They give us constant, steady feedback, but none of it is a lie. And so, you know, our minds, our egos, our ambitions may lie to us. You know, insert fear or insert shame or insert guilt or insert a should. Well, you really should do that, you know, because everybody says you should do that. Or, well, you know, a good girl, a good wife, a good daughter, a good employee would do this. And I always come back to, well, what does my body have to say about this? I hear the story that my mind is weaving about this right now. Mm-hmm. And some of it feels true and some of it feels very untrue. And I can tell that because my body will give me feedback.
Yes.
I'll get tired. I'll have this just tired feeling in my body just thinking about something. Or maybe my stomach will kind of tighten Or, you know, maybe my shoulders will start to creep up towards my ears, or maybe I'll get a headache, or, you know, but my body will give me some kind of feedback and information. Mm-hmm. So I always come back to that. What does my body have to say about this? And it's become such an important part of my decision-making process today. Mm-hmm. Intuition is very strongly connected into our bodies.
Yes.
And intuition is sort of it's a non-linear, non-rational form of wisdom that we all carry inside of us. It's just how connected we are to it, how much we listen to it, how much we trust it.
Yes.
Well, if you're not willing to trust your intuition, can you maybe trust your body, what your body might have to say about that? Because your intuition will actually talk to you through your body.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's one of the most powerful ways that I know when it comes to making decisions.
And that's, you know, it's so aligned with human design, right?
Is it?
Where it's like everyone has that inner authority, which is somewhere in their body and not in their mind. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. That's so interesting. Okay. So one of the things that you talk about in this is also the idea of radical permission.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what that means.
What is radical permission? You know, when you introduced me as, you know, a coach and a writer and a mother and an artist, and a rebel spirit was in there. And that's no mistake. Because I feel like we often need to harness the energy of the rebel, like from an archetypal sense, the rebel who is willing to go against convention, who is willing to go against all of the shoulds, who is willing to say, well, that may work for you, but it doesn't work for me. That's kind of the radical part of the permission, is the part of you that's willing to go against what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is expecting, maybe what the cultural agenda is, which is that you should be a good girl. You should follow the rules. Mm-hmm. You should, you know, stay quiet and not be needy. And you should take care of everybody around you. Well, the radical permission really comes from saying, well, I am going to give myself permission to choose for myself, whether or not that works for me.
And whether or not it works for other people, right?
Well, that's like the next step is to see when I honor myself, I actually end up honoring others. When I choose myself, it actually honors other people. Your story highlights that in really beautiful, magical fashion in the storybook. But I think it's true in all of the stories. It's just not maybe the focus of the story, but we really give other people permission to live their lives when we give ourselves permission to want what we want, love what we love, need what we need without judging it, without diminishing it, without censoring it. I'm going to give myself radical permission to be who I really am, all of who I am, the messy parts, the beautiful parts, right? All of it. And I'm going to live my life from that place.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, which is not only are you empowering yourself, but it actually ends up freeing everyone to be able to do the same thing if they so choose.
And it inspires, it does a couple of things. It frees other people up. It inspires others to say, oh, well, look at her making that choice. Maybe I could make that choice for me too. And it shows people the standards that you hold for yourself is the standards that you will hold in relationships. So how I treat myself shows other people how I like to be treated. How I treat myself teaches others how I like to be treated. So what are you teaching others in how you treat yourself and how you show up for yourself and how you honor yourself? What are you teaching others?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's big. It's massive. Huge. Ripple effect.
Yes. Yeah. Extremely profound. Like I said, wealth of wisdom. Okay, so, you know, we do need to start to wrap up. And I'm just wondering if there's one final word of wisdom that you would like to share with the listeners.
I think that when it comes to choosing yourself, when it comes to honoring yourself, when it comes to being true to yourself, I think there are two important things to remember. One is that it is a courageous act to do that. It is a revolutionary act to do that. But it is also one of the most generous things that you could ever do. And that may sound controversial. It may make no sense to people. Mm-hmm. But the more that we are able to honor and choose ourselves, the more that we give permission for other people to do the same, the more, again, the more that we teach others, this is the standard here. I won't tolerate being treated less than this. Thank you very much. I think it just starts to almost like ripple out that radical, that idea of radical permission out into the world.
Yeah.
I can think of nothing more generous. When we fill our cups by honoring ourselves, resting when we need to rest, playing when we need to play, laughing when we need to laugh, like when we fill our own cups, we are then able to give to others from such a different place. That is generosity in action. When we are constantly putting ourselves in the position of giving from a near empty or a completely empty cup, people feel it. That's when that resentment and that obligation, and it's just got a yucky flavor to it, doesn't it? Can you feel it?
Yeah.
But that's when that starts to spill out, and there's nothing generous about that.
No.
So just that this is a courageous and generous thing to be doing, to be showing up in the world as a woman who is passionate and appreciative and dignified and beautiful and full of vitality and power and just powerful. What a difference it would make if women really started to show up this way in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And you are. And so thank you for that. So I know that you have a, free gift for people. It's actually the storybook, right?
I want everybody to know about this storybook. It can be found at theartofchoosingyourself.com.
Okay.
And again, this is it's a collaborative project. There are 12 incredible stories from 12 amazing women about a time in their lives when they faced their fear, they chose themselves, and all of the magic in every case, I feel, the magic that unfolded from stepping into that place of choosing themselves. That's what this storybook is about. And I think it's perfect for these times. It's so inspirational. Every contributor offered a really wonderful free gift. So it's like, it's a storybook. It's a whole compilation of free gifts. Incredible women involved in this project. I want everybody to know about these women. It's really rich. And there's even a section in the book that's three tools to start choosing yourself today. I think that that's really helpful.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much, Alicia. And I just want to wrap up, spoiler alert, I'm one of the people in the book as well. So you've now know two of the 12. But there's also many other wonderful, wonderful women in the book, and truly inspiring. And I thank you so much for having had the courage and the willingness to, and even the creativity to put it all together. So thank you for that.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
And one last thing that if people do want to stay in touch and join your Facebook group, how can they find you?
Yeah, the best way to, the best way they can do that is actually download the storybook. There's an invitation In the storybook, there's an invitation on the page where you, after you sign up to receive the storybook, to join my Facebook group. It's where you'll get to interact with me, and you'll be a part of this community that I've talked about, this community of women who are here to uplift and support, and that are growth-minded, and really want to live life from this better place. So again, theartofchoosingyourself.com, and there's a couple of invites in there to join my Facebook group. I love interacting with people in there. Yeah, so come and join me there.
Okay, awesome. So there's no better place than to, complete our podcast today. Again, I thank you, Alicia, for your time and your generosity and willingness to do this. And I just want to say to everyone who's listening that, next time you do get to a choice point that is really important and feels really big and potentially life-affirming, to say yes to yourself and see the magic unfold and what happens. And if you need some of those tools, check out the book for those three steps, and also remember about the wisdom about listening to your body, and just knowing that, when you're choosing yourself, you're really choosing life and you're choosing everyone else too. So thank you.
I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and founder of Creative Directions for Living. I'll meet you at the crossroads where creativity and courage await.